First of all, there's film and there's theater, and those aren't even cousins. Theater is an ephemeral, living organism. Film is not. Theater, as we say about life, you had to be there. I compare theater to surfing. All you do when you do a play is you ride a wave, but you're not the wave. The wave is the collision between the material and the public. That meeting, that collision, creates a wave that you ride. Sometimes you fall off, sometimes you ride it badly, sometimes you should have done that, and instead you did this, and you kind of drowned. And you kind of made a large number of people suffer. And not to mention pay money. Film acting has no momentum. Film acting often is like pushing a boulder up a hill, and you hope it doesn't sort of come rolling back down over you and crush you and everything around you. Whereas doing a great play, that's like hanging on to a runaway train. Your job is to hang on while this material whips you around. And movies can never create that kind of momentum. Because they always say the camera doesn't lie, and I always say that's what it's for. You cannot lie in a play, but you certainly can in a movie.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and joining me again are Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFallon.
Hello.
Now, of course, you know, if I mess that up, you know, and I don't do that very often, do I, lad? Yeah, I can call a timeout, or I can just say, you know, I'm just gonna redo that again. Because, you know, that's the good sort of thing that we have going with our podcast is the fact that, you know, yeah, as we all should, we should all podcast responsibly, shouldn't we? Mm. And so we can go back and do things again if we like. We can just scrub that out and think, right, okay, I want to try that again. Of course, sport's not like that, is it really? Because it's so fast flowing and free moving and fluid that, you know, you just can't take things back and have a and think, no, I really think we should do that again. We should have a look at that and see if we could do better, or does it?
Well, yes, it does.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. Because now, of course, they want to bring into football video technology.
Mm. But we want to, going to.
Yeah. Everyone wants to, doesn't it?
Everyone.
Yeah. It's everyone. Only been those buffoons, those old reactionary buffoons.
Luddites.
Yeah,
Luddites
in their ivory towers.
Indeed. Yes.
IFAB and FIFA and the FA.
And the Sound of Football podcast.
And the Sound of Football podcast. And nobody wants it there, do they?
They're all retrograde, unprogressive Luddite buffoons.
Buffoons.
To a man.
Yes. Who on earth would oppose video technology? And who doesn't want to be right?
Who doesn't want to be right?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I like being right.
But
sometimes I'm wrong, and that's okay.
No. Sorry, being wrong.
Should we say that again?
Can we
say that again from a different angle?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah. So we should review what Jan has just said to make certain that what he said was right.
Let's just go through that again.
Let's go through this in slow motion.
Yeah, okay. I like being right, and I'm always right.
There you are. You see, that's fine. So it's fine. So that's
so it's fine once we replayed
said.
It. Yeah, it's fine.
Yes.
I swear I didn't say anything else.
No, no. However, I have this recording here. And Terry, if I take this really slowly, listen to these words coming out of his mouth.
Sometimes.
I mean, you can clearly say that is the voice of heresy.
Well, if you look at it from that, if you listen to it from that angle, yes, then that certainly is a very, very wrong opinion.
That's just one person's interpretation of that angle.
No, that's heresy.
I think we should spend the next half an hour just discussing what Jan has just said and reviewing it and replaying it until, you know, everybody dies of boredom.
Well, yes. To be honest with you, I can't believe that Graham got that wrong. That's unbelievable. I mean,
hey,
podcasting at this level,
it's
you should be getting it right every time.
It's here for, you see. That's why we...
It's here to help podcasters make the right opinions.
Yes.
Yeah, but what about...
Not to show up how crap I am.
What about podcasts that don't have the ability to have the technology deployed?
Well, no one's interested in them, are they? Face it. Yeah. Come on.
So it's only the best, the top-class podcasts that have the ability to re-review what was said.
Of course, everyone would like this to be spread out of everywhere, but it's just not practical, is it?
No, you've got to be realistic.
Yeah, you have to be realistic.
You have to be realistic, and you have to replay every single controversial moment or opinion that's stated in a podcast, you know, until you get it right.
Yes.
And then there'll be nothing more to say.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, let's go into a sort of strange, funky world where people don't think that video technology, for some reason, would be a great idea.
Yeah. Let's all you know hunch our shoulders, lower our arms so they're dragging along the floor.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And just pretend that we're these Neanderthals.
This is a really difficult thought experiment.
I think we should really sort of like get back to some primal force inside ourselves.
Wow.
Really,
yes.
I think to an age where we didn't have videos and things like that. So I think this is really quite cathartic. I think, and it's something that we can do, and we can go back to some primordial sort of beings that we were.
Hmm. Yeah. It's almost like the game is all a mixture of chance and skill, and that's it.
Whoa. Chance and skill. I mean, like, you know.
You can't leave things to chance. Yeah. Football's too important to leave to things to chance.
If you've ever watched a betting advert, you'd know it's not about skill. It's not about chance, is it?
No. Heavens no.
It's about knowing everything about the game, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's about having funky graphics going on in your head, Mark.
Yes. And it's also about having a very diverse set of friends as well.
Very, very diverse.
Who love the banter.
Who love the banter.
Yes. Who love the banter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right, well... We've gone to this weird, weird world where people would not want video technology. You're an imaginative person, Terry. Why on earth would this state of affairs exist?
Well, there's a few reasons why I think some people would be foolish and Neanderthal enough to not think that the video technology is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think the first one I'd like to raise is that it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's very expensive. And one of the great things about football is that it is, in principle, cheap to play. Easy to play, very difficult to master.
Is it expensive? Because I know I bought a DVD player the other week and it was about 30 quid.
Yeah, no, all right, okay,
no, right, I bought a video in the 80s, video record, and it cost me 200 quid.
Yeah, but you know, so those CCTV cameras that they've got there, using it, I mean, that stuff's not cheap, you know. Especially if we go back to a time before video, it's really expensive.
Yes, this is true.
But even now, I mean, you know, sadly, it's not just a question of just, like, strapping a load of GoPros onto some poles and shoving them at strategic places, you know, around a pitch that... Everything has to presumably be uniform and prescribed, and every game has to have these cameras. Many of them are already there because they're televising the game anyway.
So would you only be using cameras in specific places?
Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess so. Well, you'd have to have the same number of cameras at every game.
You would have
in
to
exactly
have
the same positions.
You'd have to have the same number of cameras in every game in every game in the same positions.
Otherwise,
it's not fair.
Yeah.
Right, because otherwise a handball could be missed because a camera at Selhurst Park is differently positioned to one that would be positioned at Old Trafford. Or there would be an extra camera or extra cameras at Old Trafford than there would be at, say, the Britannia. So if they are covering a game on the television, there's loads of cameras. Whereas if they're not covering a game live, then there's only there's a reduced number of cameras. So you'd have to, for fair play, in order that everybody benefited from being right all the time, they'd have to have the same, the uniform number of cameras. Otherwise, you'd go into madness territory, in which case what you'll have is you'll have video evidence revealing a colossal injustice that has to be corrected because these things are important.
Important.
Okay. Not being corrected because they're saying, no, that's not the camera that you're allowed to use in order to
That's
wrong camera. Weird.
Hence the reason why it's expensive, because you'd have to basically turn every single Premier League match, and we're saying the Premier League, but it could be any other league, but they'd say the Premier League, it would have to be the same match, the same degree of camera availability for all of the games. And I don't think that that happens now.
Yes.
Every game is covered live. Right, every game you can. You go on to, you go on. Apparently, there are people who use, you know, these websites where you can watch games, you know, on Saturday 3 o'clock. They're illegal and they're immoral. And you know, I'd never. I watch Jeff Stelling, but you know, those that do, they do watch. You do watch these games, but they don't have as many camera angles as say a 4 o'clock game or a 5:30 game or a proper televised game where they've got cameras everywhere.
Yes,
and the problem is that I prophesize that what would happen is, there'll be a dodgy handball, and it'll be seen by a sideways camera, or rather, it'll be seen by a camera behind the goal, but it won't be seen by a sideways camera. And they'll say, sorry, that camera behind the goal is not actually an official, you know, video refereeing camera, and so therefore, it can't be used. So you'd have to kit out all the games with that level. And
I see another problem there as well. You're going to have to make sure that those big jumbo screens are the same distance away from the most vocal section of your support as well, because as we've seen in rugby, when they show the tackles in super slow-mo, the home crowds get very, very rowdy if a yellow card isn't shown.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes. Well, I can certainly imagine that is the case. You'd also have to be careful about, I mean, there is a problem with those jumbotrons anyway, because they do sometimes, the people who operate them forget to not transmit. That's happened in Germany fairly recently. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored a goal from an offside position, and the jumbotron operator didn't forget, just showed it, and everyone went bonkers. Oh. And even the referee ended up having to say, look, I know it's offside, but there's nothing I can do. I mean, and in that respect, you can understand why people suddenly went, well, you know, video technology is the answer, because, I mean, that was patently absurd.
Yeah.
But the thing is not every game is likely to have that level of scrutiny. And so you have to bring everything up to code. So as long as you do that, that's fine. But then, you know, whatever, you know, football's a rich game. They've got the money, so why shouldn't they do it?
Well, exactly. They do it in other sports, don't they?
They do it in other sports.
Well, they do, don't they? Oh, we've just mentioned rugby, don't they?
Yeah.
It works so well in that, doesn't it?
Well,
like watching a bit of rugby, don't
you?
I do
like a bit of rugby. I also like a bit of cricket.
Yeah?
And in cricket, it's almost part of the game when it's not the appeal, when they ask for a review, rather. You know, it. You see what the third umpire is seeing, and you know the crowd go, whoa, and he's out, and it's all very exciting. But you have got all day, that's okay.
You have got all day.
If you go to cricket, you're not in a rush.
But I must admit, those points, for actually, as someone who does go to a fair bit of cricket, those bits aren't really that exciting. When you're sat there,
come on. No, they're incredibly exciting. Oh, I've seen them on the television, and everyone's having a great time when they go to the video referee. They must do, because their cameras show pictures of people having fun.
Because we can watch telly. Yes.
Yeah. What else? What other reason could they be having fun?
It breaks
fun
up
for
the day a bit, though, doesn't it?
There they are.
That's what's good about it.
Drinking away, having fun, watching the third umpire do what he does.
Yeah. The whole sound you can hear there, that way, right, that noise, it's exactly the same sort of noise and the same sort of level of delivery as you get when someone drops something in a cafe.
Yeah.
It's exactly that sort of like
somebody,
spirit.
Or if somebody spills 6 pints of beer walking down some steps on their way to their seat.
You do hear it as well with the giant beer snakes as well. When they're waved from side to side, you do hear that noise as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not wishing to undermine that point, but I can't help but feel... The people at cricket matches will just become amused by almost anything. Yeah. It's almost as if they've had so much to drink that they'll find anything.
Then again, I mean, what you've got is most reviews don't come to anything. They're very, very rarely overturn them. And you've got a ridiculous situation in cricket where if the umpire has said that someone is not out and the bowling team said, well, actually, we think he is out, they can review his decision.
They can.
If it's seen that the ball was just about going to hit the stumps, within half a ball's diameter, then the decision still sticks with the on-field umpire.
Mm. That's because there's no way that the naked eye could have seen whether it was going to be in or out.
Exactly. But what you have is for all those people who say, oh, well, you need to be right.
Yeah.
Well, the Hawkeye says... It's out, and now you're saying, "Well, no, actually, we're gonna take this video evidence away." And so,
wait a second. I think we might have to review that thing that you said there because I don't think that that's right. In the North London Derby,
yes,
a goal was disallowed.
Yes,
well, a goal was not allowed. It didn't happen because all of the ball hadn't crossed over all of the line.
That's yes, right.
This was by Tottenham Hotspur. They didn't score a goal, I should say.
Yes,
but the ball hit the crossbar, bounced almost over the line, and it was just not over the line by a slither.
Yes,
a slither. So, but in goal line technology in football, that is classed as a no goal.
Yes,
but what you're saying is in cricket, that would actually be a.
That would actually be that could well that could would be seen actually as a, be
would they see that as a goal?
No, because
it's not the same thing as the referee.
No, because all it takes in for the umpire to be called correct is the merest sliver of it,
right?
For it to be given
right.
if the referee says that's out, but it, or if the referee said if the umpire had said that's not out,
right?
And the ball is actually hitting, then. It's overturned. If it's fully overhitting, it's only half overhitting.
Right.
Then they stick with the decision that the umpire.
Right. Oh, okay. Whereas referees and linesmen don't make the decisions with goal line technology.
No.
They wait for the little buzz on the party on the wrist.
They wait for technology.
They wait for the party on the wrist to happen, and they know that it's a goal. What's the tolerances for Hawkeye?
I think they say it's. I think there was 3 centimetres.
3 centimetres.
Which is quite a long way. Over an inch, yeah.
So what do we
So see? I think that's why they gave it half the ball's width as well.
Right.
But I think it's a lot finer than that. No, if you see the margins in tennis, how they're going for it, they just say, right, okay, well, that's
I remember when Roger Federer once taking issue with an out decision, a ball that was given in when he, as far as he was concerned, it was out. And the Hawkeye said it was out, but he was out by an absolute slither, and he said that's bullshit because that ball is out. And I think his point was there's no way that the naked eye could tell that ball was in or out. So the line judge should have just been given the call, and he would have. And yes, I suppose the thing is, but these are the kind of margins that are necessary in order for to get things right. But I mean, what occurs to me is that if the tolerances are that fine, then we don't know for absolute certainty whether or not Tottenham scored.
No, we don't. We don't.
We can't say with 100%.
We know with 100% certainty that they didn't score as far as Hawkeye's concerned.
Oh. But we don't actually know with 100% certainty. Whether the ball actually was all the way over the line, or
well, the centre inside of the ball didn't say I've crossed the line, so
right.
Yeah.
But we can't be absolutely 100% accurately certain that that's what happened. But obviously, Hawkeye's decision is final, and that's fair enough.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't argue with Hawkeye's decision.
You can't argue with Hawkeye.
No,
referee's decision is final, and Hawkeye in this instance is the referee.
However, I mean, one of the issues in rugby. Has been the fact that, say, perhaps some partisan directors or producers in the sitting there in the production suite at the stadium have not been so forthcoming with replays that show their team or the team of the majority of their audience in a bad light.
Well, that's only if the TV company, I'm saying that's only, it's a terrible situation, but if the TV company are running the video replays, then that can't happen. But that needs to be independent of that, doesn't
it? Well, it's not in rugby.
Well, no, I'm not saying.
But wait, are you trying to tell me that referees are not also skilled video editing technicians and know how to use this complicated equipment as well?
Well, because that's where all the money must go, wasn't it? Really, that's why it's so expensive, because you've got to go and put them all through like years and years of video editing.
Yeah, of learning how to use
film
this
production.
Equipment. Yes. Yeah, which it does take years to master.
Well, they have got Howard Webb in that sort of TV booth.
He's got a lot of tellies in there, hasn't he?
He's in the tactics truck, isn't he?
He's got his own tactics truck going on there, isn't he?
So obviously he's learning the ropes there, isn't
he? Yes, well, he must be doing it himself, because otherwise how is he going to be able to get his own view of it? Yeah. He's not mastering and in control of the technology himself.
It's a great pity he wasn't there the other week when Sky was showing the Arsenal Man U game, when Marcus Rashford, who was having a great game, scored two first-half goals. And then at the end of the first half, you might not have noticed this because there were no replays of it shown, but he handballed on the line, right, on the goal line from a corner. The ball deflected off Schneiderlin, and Marcus Rashford instinctively put his arm out from his side and stop the ball going into the goal. Now, you'd think that a goal line clearance and two goals in the first half, that would make him sort of pretty much a three-goal hero, wouldn't it, really?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, they only talked about at all his two goals. They obviously didn't have time to talk about the fact that...
Well, yeah.
They just didn't get around to it, Grim. I don't know what you're trying to do.
I think that's unnecessarily cynical of you, if you don't mind saying.
It's a packed schedule, you know.
Yeah, it is a packed schedule, yeah. And there was a lot of stuff going on in that game.
It was, yeah.
So, it's true enough.
But, I mean, like, you know, a cynical person might say that it didn't suit the narrative, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the risk. And if you want to give someone a man of the match award, you shouldn't really give a man of the match award to someone who should have been sent off 55 minutes.
Well, you can, as long as you with all the evidence. I mean, information is power.
I mean, that's fine, because I mean, people who run, in fairness, people who run television booths, you know, they're good folk, and you know, they are unlikely to be driven by any kind of exterior narrative necessarily. I mean, unless, of course, you know, they were massively biased, you know, in favour of one team. Ooh, like, for example, in an international game, if they were hosting. You know, they were the host broadcaster of, say, a big international sporting event, you know,
like the
Rugby World Cup, or like, a test match. Yes. And then they sent through, incomplete video evidence to the third match official or the television match official.
Yeah.
But I mean, that hasn't happened, has it?
Yes, it has.
Okay. All right. Look. I'm not feeling your attitude and your enthusiasm towards the whole idea.
It's not very open-minded.
My enthusiasm wasn't at all. I just really felt the need to drop some fact bombs in there.
Okay, if you're...
Are we just reading you all wrong?
Yeah. No. I'm not some kind of mole. I'm not some kind of like Luddite mole, really, honestly.
I suppose an important question is, why do you need to be right all of the time? Is there so many massive injustices that exist in any sport, let's say football, for example, that need to be corrected every single time? Are Arsenal unfairly treated to such an extent? Or does the fickle finger of fate finger them incorrectly?
No, because I think if Gabriel's tackle against...
Oh, yes, against, indeed. That was a cracker.
Yeah,
that was.
Against Watford at the weekend was shown on a super big jumbotron over and over again at super slow-mo, then, yeah, he probably would have walked.
Yeah.
It is swings and roundabouts. But
what
then again,
what happened in that? How do you spool forward 5 years?
Yeah.
And we have video technology, because I mean, this is happening.
This is happening. The wheels are in motion.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Oh, it's a very good thing.
It's a good thing because it means everyone's going to be right.
Everyone's going to be right all the time. No one's going to be wrong ever.
That's never. There'll never be any wrongness ever again.
Yeah.
Do you think? How do you think that's going to go out? Do you think that there'll have to be some kind of challenge from Watford? Will say that you should have booked that guy. That's a red card. How do you think it's going to go down?
That's not part of the plan for the original, for the initial launch. There'll be no appeals.
Right. So it'll be down to the referee to say,
I want to see that again.
Right.
Which isn't going to take away any of the arguing or challenging or anybody saying the referee's got it wrong.
It'll add an extra layer of arguing, won't it? Because it'll be like, you should have,
This is what they have in rugby now, where they've got the things that, like, you should go to the third match official. And actually, the third match official now overrides the referee on the pitch.
It says, oh, by the way, this
happened. By the way, this happened. Yeah. Completely pulling the rug from under his feet.
I heard a commentator once during a rugby match criticise the referee for asking the television match official the wrong question. And I have to say, I started to get confused at that point. And have a lie down. Because it just seemed like an odd thing to say. Mm. But I suppose if there is a downside to all this rightness and resolving of important issues... It will add an extra couple of layers of things to argue about.
Rugby is a bit difficult because
it's a crap sport.
It's a rubbish sport, and basically you've got 30 people having a fight, and then someone blowing a whistle and saying, "No, you're fighting wrong." I don't know what it is. Look, it's like there's no rules there anyway. Come on, so it's like, what's the point of having a whistle? What's the point of having a ref there anyway? Let alone one in a video booth.
The problem is there's too many rules.
Well,
and that's why they do it.
Yeah, so no wonder you have to be so impossibly right all the time.
Well, exactly.
All right, I can see it working in cricket where you've got fixed cameras. You know where the action is going to be generally. And you're not in a rush. Really, you really aren't in a rush. You've got 5 days. You really have.
And over five days, it's going to work itself out. Surely that's
a reason for not doing it in the first place.
It is. Yeah. There's a really interesting snippet on a Radio 4 show which deals with statistics.
More or less,
thank you. And they were talking a few seasons ago about Mourinho ranting on that Chelsea weren't getting all the penalty decisions they should get.
Yeah.
The professor from Durham University was a Sunderland fan who's always correct. He just rubbished the whole thing and said that, you know, all of these things over time work themselves out, something called regression to the mean, and that there's no real need.
So what you're saying is that things do scientifically even themselves out over the course of a season?
Well, I mean, why don't we try flipping this coin 100 times and see how many times...
That's one of the oldest clichés in the book.
Well, it's statistically correct, though.
My understanding of how these things work is that usually the team that finishes top of the league is the best team in that season. And I wonder to what extent improved efficiency and correctness of all decisions is going to change that. Does that mean that it's possible that the best team won't win the league because we have more correct decisions?
What if you have it?
Or do you think it'll make no difference whatsoever?
I think it'll make a difference. I think you'll see a lot more sendings off.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking more in terms of just, like, you know, winning and losing of football matches over, say, a course of a season. Or even over a course of 90 minutes. Usually the better team beats the not-so-good team.
Goal line tech. Let's have a look at that. Who's gonna get the most benefit out of that? Is it gonna be the team that is it gonna be like the struggling team that only has two shots on target in a whole game, or is it gonna be the side that has a dozen?
Yeah, it'll be the team that has more shots on goal.
Yeah. It'll have more chances of saying, well, that ball's over the line.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be the fact it's not gonna rescue a struggling club that's really desperate to try and score, and the only way it can do is by getting the ball almost over the line.
Hmm.
It's going to be the one
third division club playing a first division club in the FA Cup.
Yes.
Yeah. If they've even got the apparatus set up to allow that to happen.
But if anything, that would make it harder for them to cause. There's less likely to be.
And video evidence will also do that. The argument that's often used is the fact that it levels the playing field. It makes it fairer.
You're not suggesting that video technology is favouring bigger clubs, are you?
Yes.
this again. I mean, this just, I don't think, I think you brought us here under false pretenses. I was under the impression that we were here to praise video technology, not to bury it.
He's got an agenda.
Well, you see, that's where I was fooled you all along.
What is all this time?
And look, I've got 28 minutes of content here.
I demand that we review this podcast.
Well, I'm sorry, you should have thought of that, because like in cricket, you only get 10 seconds to decide whether you want to review something or not.
My view on this, in closing, is that that it's not going to change some of the bad things that exist already by not having it. So, for example, I've talked about arguing with the referee in the past. I don't necessarily mind discussing something with the referee, but when it gets to the point where you're pushing him around over whether the ball went in or out, I think that's a bit of a problem. But the thing I think is worse is when you've got pundits who sell crisps to fat children arguing about whether the ball crossed the line, the referee should know this and he should know that, and basing an entire show around that. I think that video refereeing is not going to take that away. It, as Terry said, it's just going to have, he's going to argue about whether he should have argued the point, and it doesn't solve anything. It just makes me think and go. I want to go back to a conversation we had a little while ago when we said, "Do you need referees at all?"
Well,
because
yes,
if you look at the pundits, the pundits don't think they do.
It didn't take him long to dig that one out. Any chance to get that one out?
Well, the thing is, the pundits think they are so bad.
Yeah.
That the referees are so bad that now they need technology to back them up because they get it wrong so often. But then they'll get it wrong when they don't employ it.
Yeah.
And you either go one way or the other.
Video technology creates a disconnect between the elite level game and the grassroots game.
Yes.
I think in itself is a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same game.
Yeah,
if they're not playing to the same rules as Arsenal.
The beauty of football is everyone plays under the same conditions. You're going to have technological aids to a certain degree, but officiating using technology creates disconnection. And ultimately, that is for me the biggest reason why you shouldn't do it. Now, I'm not leading with that because we've talked about this before and I've made that clear.
No.
But I think that has to do with it. And I think for me that is the chief reason why you don't do it. I mean, secondary is that it is okay for referees to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's much cheaper for referees to make mistakes as well.
The thing is, we've existed in a time of video evidence for a long time now. And the fact is, video evidence has made referees better. Because bad referees don't last 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
If you're a terrible referee, if you constantly make poor decisions, You won't survive at the top level.
No.
I may bang on about Mike Dean about how perceived injustices against my club.
Yeah,
but he can't get away with making actual bad decisions all the time because he's scrutinised so much by people like Robbie Savage.
Yeah, or by adjudicators who are there, and I'm sure do use the technology available to adjudicate.
Yeah.
Adjudicating performances of players and referees by using video
is
a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly at a professional level, that's a great idea. Mm. But the line is using it in actual in-play.
The biggest problem I have with it is the fact that at the moment, no matter what stupid things the pundits say, they cannot influence what happens on the pitch.
Hmm.
They can come up with any crap thing, and it's really annoying to listen to, but really, at the end of the day, nothing they say can affect what goes on in that pitch yet.
No, we can't have... I mean, broadcasters get a lot of stick for a lot of things, but they bring great joy to us because they bring us the TV pictures for us to watch the great and lovely football.
Mm.
But we can't have them telling referees what to do.
No.
We just can't. That's the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah. Yes. And do you know what? On that wedgy point, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry Fulham, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Ingmar Bergman was asked once, because he was a great theatre director as well as being a giant of 20th century cinema, and he was asked which he preferred, and he said, "I love the cinema, but the theatre is my life."